Right Samadhi and Insight in Sayadaw U Kandimas, Sayadaw U Sandimas, Teaching. Translation by Bhikkhu Uttamo. Introduction to Right Samadhi and Right Insight. Part 2, of 4 parts. Here the working of Kama was quite interesting. He learned Anapanasati from his great uncle monk who was a teacher of Mogic tradition. Except Samatha practice, he did not learn any important dharmas from him for the Four Noble Truths, Patikasamapada, Vipassana, etc. He also did not have any interest in Mogic Dharma. His knowledge of practice was zero, and he encountered many difficulties in his practice. It seemed to me he had a strong Kamich link with the Ingu Sayadaw. It makes me remember one of Ajahn Chah's disciples, Ajahn P. He was from Bangkok, and after graduation in Thailand, he continued his further study in the US. One day in his meditation there, he saw a senior monk in his practice, and he did not know who the monk was. He came back to Thailand, and was looking for this monk. He was looking for him in the well-known Thai forest tradition of Ajahn Mun's senior disciples, such as Ajahn Fung, Ajahn Wen, Ajahn Chop, etc. Later he found Ajahn Chah, who was the monk who appeared in his meditation. He became Ajahn Chah's disciple, and because of his samadhi had a monastery in Bangkok at a noisy area near Don Muang International Airport. Therefore, everyone has their own teacher of Kamich link. So they took me to Kamathana teacher U Saridharma, who was the Ingu Sayadaw's disciple. They did not even tell me a word of the purpose of taking me here. When we arrived there, my parents were waiting for us. There was also a pavilion for monk ordination with new monk robes inside. I was speaking with Sayadaw, and later my mother called me to have my lunch, and to take a bath. When I was preparing for a bath, my mother told me to wash my head first. When I was sitting with my bowed head, mother poured water on my head, and then cut my head hair with the scissors. After 2 or 3 times of cutting, the middle part of the hairs were gone. It made me angry, but to my mother I couldn't say anything about it. If another person I could kill him. Here we can see his Dosa character, which is tough and determined. Because I had other plans, and already spent some money on it, not mentioned it. It made me angry and sorrowful, but I let go of the anger and conceit. It was up to my mother's decision to become a monk. When I was young, I always listened to my parents' words, and never made him suffered mentally by opposing them. I did not want to see and make my parents unhappy and distressed because of me. When my mother became sick, I stayed near her without sleep, as a young boy concerned for her. As a child, when L was playing Never Going Far from Mother, in case she needed me I could hear her calling. Here we can see Sayadaw as a young child even had the instinct of filial obligations and practices, i.e., in Chinese Shao Tao, the foundation of all goodness to arise. So he was a filial son, Shao Ji, when he was young. I want to contemplate more about moral or ethical education or virtues, which is the foundation of worldly wholesome dharma to arise, that again supports spiritual development. There is much evidence on this in the distant past or present day. Here I want to give 2 examples from mainland China in short, which were extracted from 2 documentary films. The first one was from Tianjin, Hubei province. He was called Mr. Gyork, i.e., Chinese family name. He was the head of a criminal gang, and a rich person. Most of his wealth could come from black money or wrong livelihood. Later he met a group of people who were touring the whole China lecturing on Chinese culture, and moral education which were not from books, but directly from their lives and experiences, how their characters and lives were changed. He himself became a changed person, and became a well-known philanthropist. The second person was from southern China, Chao Chu District, Guangdong Province. He was called Mr. Shell, family name, and seemed to be from the countryside. He was the leader of a small group of thugs in his area, and everyone was afraid of him. Likewise, he gave a lot of trouble to people there. He exploited people by force and violence. Therefore, many sold their lands, farmlands, and left the place. He got them at a cheap price. Later, he had the chance to see some documentary films on moral education and Buddhism, which I have mentioned above. He changed his life in accordance with the teachings of Chinese sages and the Buddha, and became a totally new person. Even his face was changed from unwholesome to wholesome. Later, he used the video records on moral education to train people around China in his place. He built a center for this purpose, because he got many lands which are mentioned above. Before, he was a violent thug, now an educator on moral education, and also became a practicing Buddhist of Pure Land Buddhism. For their lives, can check the following website, www.sxjyggw.org. When I was young, I experienced unhappy things, i.e., human sufferings around him, and in this way became a monk. Before I became a monk, one time when I was crossing the Pegu stream, and got stuck in the thick mud, I thought to myself, I must die, and there is no one to save me. It's also very far from the village. I was calling on the Buddha, and not very long the tide water would arise, and except the Buddha no one could save me. After some time, the fisherman Ko Ong Din, who was our neighbor returning from fishing, saw me, and saved my life. Arrived back home, my mother gave me food. I was thinking that when people encountered Dukkha, they were calling for the Buddha. In that case, what should I do to be near the Buddha? If I was in Dukkha, I would be near the Buddha. And then I made the following wish. In every life, let me encounter Dukkha. My whole body was rising up with goose flesh. This is also a parami, perfection. Everyone desires, and for the happiness of human and celestial beings, devata, and making wishes and prayers for these things. But no one is making the wish and prayer of encountering Dukkha. This can be said as the spirit of perfection. After ordaining and doing the 9 days retreat, what did my teacher tell me? Only at that time did I hear about vipassana, insight practice. Sayadaw said that one day we must die, and Dukkha Vedana would arise, and it would kill the patient with great suffering. If we practiced anapanasati continuously without changing, the body would be freed from aging, sickness, and death. After the 9 days retreat, the time for disrobing arrived. Others were disrobed, and I was thinking of should I disrobe or not. If I disrobed, and in the world with my wife, and children surrounded with fire of greed and sorrow, I had to support them with my education. I had to be afraid of the suffering related to them. Furthermore, I even was afraid that one day my parents passed away. So I didn't like extra Dukkha. After my younger brother was born, I said to my mother, "Mother, please do not give birth again. If you do, it will encounter Dukkha again." Mother was laughing at me when she heard what I said. They didn't have Samvega like me. I was afraid of encountering the fetters, Samyojana, and sufferings, Dukkha, by increasing one person, a family member. If mother was pregnant, I didn't let her see me, because I was afraid of the fetters. If I had a family, I would meet with the fetter of my wife and children. I am determined not to let these things happen to me. When I was thinking about the disrobed monk, the reason for their discontinued monkhood were the matters of family members, work duties, etc. They replied to the abbot as they wanted to continue the practice because of other duties that they had to leave. What I remembered was, men were caught up in traps, but I was free from it was up to me. If I followed them, I would catch up in the trap. So I was afraid of being caught up in a trap. Sayadaw had a fiancé, but it did not affect his mind. It was the same as Chow Khan Nor, who was temporarily ordained for his deceased master, His Majesty King Rama VI, and after disrobing would marry his fiancé. He changed his mind, and continued his practice in Akuti for 45 years, a noble warrior. Most disrobing cases were related to women. There were also many Western monks disrobed by women, and after marriages many divorced again. With my knowledge, Westerners died in Thailand by women, disrobed, and died in Sri Lanka by illnesses, disrobed or died by hygienic problems. There was a story in Thailand related to Luang Por Dun, Atulo's senior disciple. Luang Por Dun was well known, and one of Ajahn Mun's senior disciples. He was a bit like a Zen master, and one of his well-known teachings is that Chitta is Buddha. His senior disciple was 60 or over 60 of age, and an abbot of a monastery. One day he told his monks he would give up his robes. It shocked the monks and lay followers. The reason he gave up his robes was he wanted to marry a daughter of a faithful follower. No one could persuade him to stay in robes. Later, the news arrived at Luang Por Dun. Luang Por also stopped him and tried to change his mind. At last Luang Por became impatient and scolded him as follows: "You're not looking at your mind, instead looking at the woman's. I requested Sayadaw, his meditation teacher, then. Sir, please show me the way. I want path, and fruit, and nibbana, magga, and phala. Could you show me the way to achieve this?" Only Sayadaw had attained the magga, phala, and nibbana can teach me to attain it. If you're not unclear in this matter, I'll also become like you. I don't want to be in an unclear situation by wearing the robes with a bald head. If I am in an unclear situation, then I only want to be in lay life. So please give me a guarantee." Sayadaw's response was, "I am looking for this kind of person. I give my guarantee to you, and then I did not disrobe." Sayadaw talked about his tough and hard life of school years in the village. "I had studied a year in Kyok Tam, i.e., Tham Lin town, and from there to Rangoon, already mentioned above. I had my education with difficulties and a hard life. I was worrying about wasting all these matters, and also I was a young man." Here we can see his seriousness in practice and a monk's life. He must achieve something in Dharma instead of wasting his life without any result. I was thinking about another point. Sariputta and Mahamoggallana were rich men, and Anuruddha was a prince, even though they could wear robes. I was nothing special about, and why should not I let go of worldly matters? With these thoughts, I uplifted my spirit. In this way I continued my practice. March and April were very hot, and at these time there were very few people. Sayadaw taught Dharma only at nighttime, very hot at daytime. In the daytime I went up to Kyork Wine Seti at Kyork Galat. I sat in meditation in a cave at the middle platform. I couldn't control my mind. Likewise, I tried to establish anapanasati, and the mind with sensual pleasure related to young man was arising in me. I sent my mind to the entrance of the nostril, but every time it ran away from it, I became low-spirited. Furthermore, I took the face towel which was on my shoulder, and looked at the white towel and recited as, it's white, etc. With the reciting, the mind went out very often. With a lot of sense objects arose, and I couldn't control it. In practice the meditation object disappeared, and after 15 days I went to ask Sayadaw to give me a method to control my mind. He told me, you would not get it this way. With going, and coming has sati. You must have sati when going for arms round, and wearing your robes. From going, stepping etc. Have to stick with sati. Your mind and body always have to be stick with sati. I wanted to realize the Dharma, so I was holding things with sati, taking things with sati, going and stepping with sati, etc. If the mind went out, I used sati to come back to the object. In this way I practiced for 15 or 20 days, and my practice was becoming stronger. I went arms round in houses at Taik Khoi Loan, 9 buildings. One day I went inside a house, and sitting at a place prepared for monks, and a girl came out and put foods inside my bowl. After I put on bowl lid my consciousness stopped, and disappeared. I.e., something like in coma, it's called fall into Bhavanga, life continuum mind in Abhidharma. When Luangpo Tait Dasaramsi, one of the Ajahn Mun's senior disciple, was a young monk, he always fell into this state while sitting in samadhi. If someone can't correct it, it will become a habit and affect the practice. The present mind and body was not sticking with the conceptual object, and ceased or stopped, the object of perception or concept disappeared. That I did know myself, and the normal mind was stopped, and I didn't know to get up. The girl also had to sit in front of me. After some time my sati came back, and became frightened. Later, I told Sayadaw. Then, sir, when I was receiving foods, my sati disappeared, and it became a problem. It's better for me to temporarily stop the house arms round. Sayadaw's response was, no, don't stop it. You're not stealing other people's properties, and not insulting them. It comes from practice, and no fault at all. Who is blaming you? No one, then. Sir, in this case, you continue the practice. After that, I asked Sayadaw's permission to go back home, and see my parents for a request to spend Vasa, rain, here. Here we can see Sayadaw as a good son or a filial son according to the Chinese culture standard. Actually, he had no need to do it, but his parents did not know about his commitment for a monk life. He would come back home after the 9 days retreat. After seeing my parents at home, I returned to the monastery. Then I met the female followers, Upasikas, again at Taik Khoi Loan, 9 buildings. At present with respect, and over faith, sadha, became craving, tanha. I thought they were extreme, and also didn't know me before. And then I went to talk to Sayadaw about it. Yu Chandima did not mention what really happened to him. Anyhow, he was extremely careful about his practice and monk life. After listening to me, he said, yes, you can't continue to stay here. If you continue to stay here there will be danger. So he sent me to the Ingu Meditation Center in Morbi. At night, when I sat for meditation, and understood the reality behind the incident. In my past life, it seemed the near past life, I had practiced here as a monk. At that time this place was a deep forest, in Thailand at the beginning of the 20th century villages, and forests did not have clear boundaries. Outside the villages were forests. Every day on alms round I left some extra food for a group of cats' family in the forest. This group of cats came, and ate these foods. Therefore, I had intimacy with these cats, because of the past fetters, samyojana, it continued to this present life. So I didn't see any faults in him, and went to the Ingu Center for my practice. In Mei Chi Kao Siamlam's biography mentioned one of her past lives as a mother hen with some chicks were wandering around a monastery, and looking for foods, insects, and rice grains. Nowadays, humans are closer to animals than before or ever. They created more kamich links with all sorts of animals, using animals in many ways with a lot of exploitation on animals, sometimes in very cruel ways. Today men talk a lot about human rights, and also use it wrongly. Do they ever think about animal rights? With animals, humans create a lot of environmental problems around the world. I arrived at the Ingu, and on 12th of Na Yon, i.e., roughly in June, and I started my practice there. Even after a month I didn't have any realization. With breathing in, and breathing out Vedana arose, i.e., Dukkha Vedana, and then breathing strongly to overcome Dukkha Vedana was becoming a practice. In the instruction when painful feelings arose, and asking the yogi to breathe strongly again. When it was freed from Anapanasati, the mind returned to Dukkha Vedana. When Vedana became unbearable and I had to re-establish Anapanasati. Sometimes with good jhana it was freed from Vedana. Here the language Sayadaw used did not represent the exact meaning. Good jhana was not the real abortion state, but represented strong samadhi. We can never be free from feeling. One type of three feelings always exists as one of the five khandhas. Freed from Vedana meant I could bear it. Sometimes it fell back on Vedana, i.e., Vedana pulling the mind down to its place. What did Sayadawgyi say about it? I.e., referred to the Ingu Yuakata. He taught, hot, stiffness, tightness are Vedana, numbness is Vedana, to Vedana noting it as Vedana, from Sayadaw Yuakatha's talk. I had to note them as Vedana, but I didn't know about it. I had listened to other talks also, and didn't know anything about them. Likewise, I did not know about insight practice, vipassana. Here we know about the importance of study, pariyat or nata parinna. Yu Chandima didn't have a good teacher to guide him. He had the chance to study with his great uncle monk who was teaching the Mogic system, but it seemed he had not learnt anything from him when he was in high school. I want to say here the importance of Mogic Sayadaw's Dharma talks in practice. It not only helps us to develop wisdom faculties also directs us to the clear direction on the practice. I only remember one Dharma, which is whether you want to know if you are enlightened. I.e., the state of stream entry, sotapanna, with the contact of the eye, and physical form, rupa, if you know them as seeing a man, and knowing a man seeing a dog, and knowing a dog, etc. These are normal knowing, knowing with concepts, and you don't have any realization. I only understood this one. The other things are the five khandhas, etc. I did not know anything about them. In the practice, the normal knowing of seeing man, and knowing as man, seeing dog, and knowing as dog. It's not the realization yet, But if you are seeing man, and not knowing as man, seeing dog, and not knowing as dog is the realization. I only knew this one. And this was a manual Dharma for me. Now I have attained the Dharma with this one as my manual. The teachers taught the students as, noting the hotness, stiffness, and tenseness as Vedana, and continue to observe them. Then I went to ask my teacher, Ven. Sir, should I note the hotness, stiffness, tenseness as Vedana? He said to me, yes, it's, then I noted him as, hotness is Vedana, stiffness is Vedana, 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 etc. When I checked it I only knew hotness, stiffness, and aches, and pain, but didn't know Vedana, i.e., get lost in words, and concepts. There was an old nun who looked after me. Her name was Dor Mitra. She herself also was a teacher. It seemed teaching the nuns, and lay women. At night, I went to ask her my problem. Then I asked her, Sile, when I practice, note the hotness, stiffness, and tenseness as Vedanas, but I don't know about Vedana. I only know hotness, stiffness, and aches only. How should I practice knowing Vedana? Sayadaw did not continue to talk about how the Mechi Dor Mitra responded to him. He stopped here. I guess Dor Mitra would answer the same as his teacher had said before. Sile is the Burmese word for teacher and is the name given to nuns by monks and lay alike. Upasakas and Upasikas, you have to listen to this talk with wisdom ear to learn from a person who didn't know about the practice. I was noting the hotness, stiffness, etc., but I didn't know about Vedana. I myself was a science student before. So, how to practice it? How to note it? What is the reason for it? What cause leads to what result? I could only practice by having references and evidence. For example, in geometry, a type of mathematics, two triangles are equal. In this case you have to prove it. I had the genetics of science with me, Beja. I myself had the habit of saying and doing things according to the truth. If it means nothing to me, even if it's a step, I won't do it. Now I don't know why the heat, stiffness, etc. are considered Vedana, which makes me feel unsatisfied. So I asked Sayadaw, Ven. Sir, I note hotness, stiffness as Vedana, but I don't know about Vedana. How do I contemplate it? Sayador's reply was, Ven. If you have hot, cold, and stiffness, it's pleasant or unpleasant. It's unpleasant, Ven. Sir, in this case you have to note it as dukkha. Did it happen on its own, or did you do it? It happens by itself, sir. Then you note it as anatta, not self. Are these natures permanent or impermanent? It's impermanent, sir. Then it's not permanent. You note it as anicca, inconstant. I thought as I had the method, and practiced it again. All these instructions were according to Buddha teachings, but the knowing and the reality were not in accordance with the Dharma, so it only became concepts. Before Vedana arising I practiced Anapanasati, and when Vedana arose as an example, hotness arising from its nature, and I recited it as anatta, anatta, etc. So my mind became tired. When I looked it back, hotness is only known as hotness. I didn't know it as anatta, and only the reciting of anatta existed. The instructor of meditation, Kamathana Akariya, had to give the instructions suitable to the character of the student, and not taking everyone as the same. People had different knowledge, nana. This was the most important in giving instruction. The teacher must give guidance appropriate to the practitioner's shallow or deep knowledge, and his scope and perspective. I wanted to know the nature of cause and effect. The teacher gave me instruction as usual, i.e., fixed formula, that the giver and the receiver were not in accordance with its nature. It was only reciting as anatta, but I couldn't bear the pain and aches, because I couldn't bear the hotness, pain and aches that the mind suffered, so I was reciting it dukkha, dukkha, etc. It was only reciting, and still in suffering. It did not disappear, and also not knowing as Vedana. From hotness, it changed to stiffness, so I noted it as anicca. Once noting the stiffness, it also changed. I noted it as anatta, anicca, and recited as dukkha, but I was only knowing of not wanting the pains and aches. Anicca, dukkha and anatta knowledges did not arise and only knowing it as unpleasant. For a week I was practicing days and nights, the practice was not developed enough that it made me disappointed. It was also not right. Therefore, I went to ask the meditation teacher U. Nandabhasa. It was not easy to ask him, because there were many people there. He could shave head hair, so I had to wait until my hair was long enough. Only shaving the hair, I approached him friendly, and asked my question. Then, sir, I am noting the hotness, stiffness, and tenseness, but don't know Vedana. To the nature of the element, I know only unpleasantness. How should I practice knowing Vedana, and without unpleasantness? His answer was, friend, if hotness, stiffness, and tenseness arise, it has to be noted as Vedana. Friend is the Pali of Avuso, in Burmese, Kodau. Here we can see the system or method of practice with no clear explanation about the system. Later we will see when U. Chandima became a teacher himself, he explained his teaching very clearly about the three trainings of Sila, Samadhi and Panna. If we study Mogik Sayadaw's talks, we also understand the importance of the teacher and Nata Parinna before the practice. I myself have practiced like this, and noting is useless for me, but I'll note it again. So I continued the practice with noting. Noting was one thing, and the experience, i.e., feeling of dukkha Vedana, was another thing, only knowing the unpleasantness, and not led to wisdom, panna. I was practicing for over a month now, my skin was burning, and my bottom was with injuries. Here we can see the seriousness of his effort in practice, similar to the great yogis of the past. It mentioned the following incident in Tibetan yogi Malarapa's biography. Once one of his disciples had to leave him, so he sent his disciple on a journey. When it was time to leave and say goodbye, the disciples asked him to give a short teaching. Malarapa turned his back towards him, and bending his body a little, and lifted his sabing, i.e., lower clothes, and showed his bottom to him. It looked like a hard rock dark with hard flesh, and skin, an excellent meditation teaching. There was also a famous Japanese Zen master Ban Kai, whose well-known teaching was, UNBORN. One time he stayed in a cave, and did a lot of long sittings that his bottom skin was worn out with blood. 18th or 19th century. Long hours of sitting without a proper samadhi is a difficulty to do. Ajahn Mahabua also did long night sitting, from evening to morning without change. His intention was to understand dukkha Vedana, and how much he could bear it. According to him, if someone overcomes it, however strong dukkha Vedana arises, not a problem at all, especially at near death and dying. Some Western Buddhists look down on Mahasi's system of noting method in the Satipatthana Sutta, This is developing Vipassana Samadhi. When it is developed, one can bear the Dukkha Vedana. In southern Burma, Mon State, New Don Town, there was a well-known teacher called Thav Khu Sayadaw, and his teaching was Mahasi system, but the differences between them was in sitting. He encouraged sitting for long periods of time, and some people could sit for 6 hours, 8 hours or 12 hours at a time with this noting method. Sayadaw himself was an example, including some of his close disciples. Without strong samadhi and insight, nobody can sit that long. Once I was in a Thai forest monastery, a monk named Ajahn Tong, after the evening puja 7 to 8 p.m., he went into jhana state, and came out at 4 a.m. exactly by himself before the morning bell rung for the morning puja. Closing square bracket. From the morning 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. was one sitting, and from midday to 5 p.m. was another long sitting. At 7 p.m., we had to do the evening puja. I went to see Sayadaw and told him, "Sayadaw, I don't want to attend the puja. I don't have enough time for practice." So Sayadaw designated a place in a sima for me to do my practice. He also gave other monks permission if they wanted to do the practice. From then onwards, from midday 12 p.m. to nighttime 7 p.m. I did one sitting. I desired for the Dharma, and no need to reduce the price like in business. Most people, in most centers, did the sitting for an hour only. They thought that 1 hour was enough. However, what was the use of just 1 hour? I was wishing for the Dharma that I had to sit for to attain it. If you didn't succeed, then it was only wasting the time with the numbers of sitting. This reflection is important for young serious yogis, man or woman. I must practice to attain, and with the desired mind, chanda, I did my practice. In one of Mogic talks, it mentioned yogis should practice with samvega, chanda, and mana for attaining of Dharma. The practice and progress did not match, and all that remained was pain and soreness every day. It took me a long time, but I didn't find the way out. I tried to run away from Vedana with only a short time, and fell back into it. Only with Anapana practice, I freed myself from it, and without it, I became unpleasant again. I was not freed from Dukkha. How should I practice this Dharma? And then I was praying for the Buddha. I could not rely on my teacher, so I prayed to the Buddha, but he did not teach me. I was afraid of the four woeful existences, apaya. Fear of aging, sickness, and death sufferings was also this mind. The female boss Visakha, and Anathapandika boss, became stream winners, Sotapanna, and enjoyed the sensual pleasure in havens, they were also in this mind. This mind was changing in various ways to express its nature, which I became understanding of. It was arriving at insight. When doing the practice, I didn't get what one's desire was, and thinking as follows. In the past, arahants attained absorption, jhanas. Before I also had attained jhanas. Attaining of jhanas must be arahant. Therefore, I practiced anapana up to jhana levels. After attaining it, I went up to the sky as before, and came down again. I was playing jhana in different ways. After that, I was opening my eyes, and when seeing a nun, and only knowing as a nun. In this case, if seeing man, and knowing as man, seeing dog, and still knowing as dog, then my practice was not attaining the Dharma Nibbana, yet. I deviated from it, so what should I do to achieve Dharma? I didn't see the trace of the path because I didn't get the good method and the right way. Therefore, I myself teach you with guarantee with the right method, and right way. I am concerned for you not to happen the same as me. I am teaching you with this kind of sadda. I was practicing until my buttocks were like falling apart with the skin falling out. After the sitting, if I got up my buttocks, and robe was sticking together. I had to use my spittle to separate it. I was practicing without getting up, and also not thinking of getting up. Attaining jhanas also was not arahant yet. Was it an arahant by seeing things? I.e., divine eye. In this case I must establish the vision, and I practiced for it, and attaining the light element, dhatu, or the clear element. With this, I was looking at celestial beings, and their heavenly mansions, forests, mountains, clouds, and on earth, seeing living beings, worms with different shapes and forms. Then I became an arahant and opened my eyes in seeing man, and dog only knowing as man, and dog. Before the practice when seeing man, and dog it was only knowing as man and dog. After the practice it was not making by oneself only with the internal normal mind, and looking at also still seeing, and knowing man as man, dog as dog. This was still not the Dharma. Then what were the other ways? I was looking at things which were appeared by itself. With this mind it was purified. I would control the mind to be calm. With a lot of control, the mind became calmed down, and ceased in a blip. The life continuum mind, Bhavanga Chitta, vibrated, and the clear element went out with light. Its clear element was another kind. The light element came from Anapanasati was a different kind, which encountered and seen things randomly. The light element now was appearing with brightness when I wanted to see anything, and it was like looking at things with a torchlight. Now, I was practicing at Morbi, and my parents were at Pigu. I wanted to look at my father and mother there, and when I looked there, and also saw them. The mind did not go there as most people thought, it was only inclining towards that direction. What were they doing at that time? Father was in the kitchen, and roasting dry fish to eat, and after that he was looking for the oil bottle. I was seeing it as like opening my eyes. He couldn't find it, so he asked my mother, Markin Maya, where is the oil bottle? I heard his voice as like using an earphone, small and clear voice. Mother replied as, it's at the corner of the food cupboard. Father took the oil bottle from the corner of the food cupboard, and looked inside to see there was only a little bit of oil. He was angry, and scolding mother as, the oil is near finished, and why don't you buy, and fill it again? All these things I saw, and heard from my place. Now, I knew things which I wanted to know, see and hear, so I thought I was to become an arahant. I still didn't know about stream enterer, once returner and non-returner. I thought attainment of Dharma was arahant, if became arahant must attain Nibbana, i.e., unborn. When a nun came, and looked at her only knowing as a nun. When looking at a monk, and only knowing as a monk. When looking at man, and only knew as man. Oh! My view has not changed. My practice seemed to be wrong. You had to destroy these practices. It was very valuable by hearing a sage's word of Sayadawgi, i.e., referred to the Ingu Sayador. If Sayadawgi did not mention, I could take pleasure in visions and hearings, i.e., divine eye and ear, it would be wrong. I would take them as real, and it took me moving with it. Now I have arrived at the top with a noble word of a sage. I want you all to get this kind of general knowledge. The divine eye, knowledge of past lives, jhanas and avana, intuitive power, psychic power, etc., are arguably the highest secular knowledge. If people reach that goal, they mostly get lost in it. Sun Lun Sayadaw acquired these things even while he was still a layman who practiced Anapanasati. He mentioned it as follows. Loki, i.e., highly worldly knowledge as mentioned above, is very good indeed. I am very lucky that I can cross to the other shore, i.e., Nibbana. If not, I am sinking in these worldly knowledge. Here we can see Yu Chandima's wisdom character. He easily gave up on them. His search was not these unstable things, a noble search, which was Nibbana. Nothing is worthy of clinging. Closing square bracket.